John chapter 19, if you have your Bibles. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Miss. John chapter number 19. Sure glad the blood was shed, but I'm glad it's been applied. I'm not afraid to die. Well, there's no song, Brother Allen. Maybe y'all used to sing it here. I don't. Not afraid to die. We sung it when I was a boy. Some of the churches my dad pastored in, and so I'm glad I'm not afraid to die, Brother Bud. I don't want to die. I'm not saying that. I'm not quite ready to leave my family, but were it to happen, I'm not afraid. The blood's been applied to my unworthy soul. My, that's something, isn't it? Glad I'm saved. Saved by the blood. The crucified one.
Philippians 1:4,
yeah.
I pray in His holy name, one day whenever I do pass on by away from this place, it's going to be a gain. I'm going to have this sin nature on me. I ain't got to worry about it. I pray to the Lord for that right there. I pray in His holy name.
Amen. John chapter number 19, I want to read in verse 28 and 29, but before I do, I'd like to just pray for a minute. I ask you to pray with me and for me if you would. I surely stand in need of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I'm so needy. You know my inability, my insufficiency. You know how pitiful I am, Father. But Lord, you called me and placed me in this work. And I ask you if you would to help me for a little while. Father, please just take your word and do with it what needs doing. Manifest your truth to the hearts of the listeners. Help us now. Father, if there's a soul here nearest hell, would you allow something to be said that would speak to their heart? Help us now. Thy blessed will be done. You must increase. I must decrease. In Jesus' precious name, I do ask these things. Amen and amen. Well, in our verse, let's read the verse first, I guess, and then we'll talk for just a minute, and I'll give you what the Lord has given me, and we'll go from there. Verse number 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. That the Scripture might be fulfilled, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, we've been preaching through the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. We dealt with the first one, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we see Jesus as the intercessor, interceding in prayer for the sinner. And aren't you glad we have an intercessor? Someone to go to God on our behalf. And then the second one was, as he spoke to the thief, Brother Wesley shared this with us in the opening up this morning. "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And we see there the thief with no good works, no future works to offer, nothing to give. God the Son in mercy, saved his dying soul. And then we discussed Jesus and his mother when he said, "Woman, behold thy son," and "Son, behold," or "behold thy mother." And then last week we talked about, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I want to look at just a little phrase this morning, and I may not keep you long this morning, but I do want to consider this phrase. Jesus said at the end of verse 28, He said this, "I thirst. I thirst." And that's that. I guess that's a little odd to me if I stop and think about that. He was crowned with a crown of thorns, and He didn't say a word. And He was slapped and ridiculed and mocked and stripped off naked, and He didn't say anything. And they nailed His hands and they nailed His feet, and He didn't say anything. But He did say this when He came to this part of the text. He said, "I thirst. I thirst." And that seemed rather, that just seems a little odd to me. But if you get to studying the Scriptures, in Psalm 22 and verse number 15, He talks about "my tongue cleaveth to my jaws." And in Psalm 69 and 21, it says, "They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." And so I guess one of the truths that we could draw before we get started this morning, or as we get started, He may have said, "I thirst," in order for the fulfillment of Scripture. And I want to just say this to you all this morning, and I think most of you know this: if this Bible says it, it's going to come to pass. And we read a lot of things in the Word of God. For instance, Him coming again. That's been almost 2,000 years, and we know in the last days there'll be scoffers that'll mock at His coming. But just as sure as He said, "I'm coming again," He's coming again. That's right. You can count on that. Just the old saying is, you can just take that to the bank with you. He's coming again. How do you know that? How can you be so arrogant? How can you be so confident in saying that? Because the Word of God said that so. My, if the Word of God says it, that pretty well settles it, doesn't it? I mean, you can argue with me and you can argue with some other preacher or somebody else, but you're not going to do much if you're going to argue with God. And so God's Word has to be fulfilled. And we understand that. And we see that truth in this passage. And I'm afraid sometimes, and I'm convinced that a lot of people really do not believe the Word of God. I'm talking about God's people, raised in the house of God. The truth's become dull to us. Is that not right? The Bible says this, that we'll reap what we sow. Many of God's people, I look at, or so-called God's people, I look at how they're living, and it just looks to me like they just don't believe that. They just don't believe that. The Bible says this, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." It looks to me like a lot of God's people doesn't believe that's what they're supposed to do. "We're to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul." And it just looks to me like a lot of God's people just don't believe that. But I want to say to you, this Bible is right. This Bible is the... One preacher said it this way, it's the roadmap to glory, but it's also instructions to live by. And by you and I, you can count on what it says. And so I see as we just get started this morning, I see in this saying, "I thirst," I see the Lord working to see the fulfillment of Scripture. I believe that is going on in our text. But then I want to say too, I see Him suffering physically as our substitute. Now when He said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I believe he's suffering. I believe he's suffering in his spirit and in his soul there. I believe that. I believe when sinners wake up in hell, I think they will suffer both spiritually and physically. I believe there's a destruction of the body and the soul in hell. We're to fear that one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. It's what Matthew's gospel teaches us. And so as we look at that fourth, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see him suffering in his soul and in his spirit. But when we come down to this, I thirst. I believe he said that to let us know that he's suffering for us physically there on the cross. We will not have to bear the physical sufferings of hell because Jesus, our substitute, bore our sufferings for you and I. My, I don't know about you, but that ought to stir you up this morning. I think about the rich man, and maybe, I'll tell you what let's do. Let me take my time and let's just turn. There may be a young person, maybe an older person that's lost and on their way to a devil's hell, and maybe this is your opportunity to hear the truth. In chapter 16, in verse number 23, we read about a man who went to hell. Now, a lot of folks say this. I had a fellow knock on my door yesterday. He doesn't believe in a literal hell, but the Bible teaches there's a literal hell just as there's a literal heaven. You be sure of this morning, while you and I are sitting here in the air conditioning, in the comfort with the water fountain back there, there's folks in hell right now who are in a literal hell in torments, and there's nothing they can do about it. Oh my, that's it. Brother Roy, you're right. It's too late for them. And so we see the Bible opens hell up and lets us get a look in Luke 16 and verse 23. And it says, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And notice the word, I know you Bible scholars know this, but being in torments, plural. Torments, plural. And seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But notice the word again, tormented in this flame. Notice verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Three verses. Our word is in each of those that we read, or in three out of the five that we read, I should say, the word tormented and the word torments. And so as we look at Jesus here physically suffering, his throat is parched. I read one writer who said that physicians will say that that's one of the greater pains of the human body, is a thirst that's not quenched. He went on to say, if you've ever been on the battlefield, I never have, but if you've been on the battlefield where folks are wounded and where folks are dying, the cry you will hear many times is for water and not for healing. I don't know if that's so or not, but I suspect maybe there's some truth to that. But as we look at this text, we see Jesus suffering, the sinless one. I ask you this, what is he suffering for? What has he done? What is the punishment? What is the crime that he's committed? And you know as well as I do, there was no crime. You see, he took our sins upon himself. He took your sins upon him. Every one of you sitting here, Jesus took your sins upon him. Every sin for all of mankind was placed upon him. He suffered in his spirit and in his soul. But as we look at this text, he's suffering our hell for us as our substitute. That's right. I'll never have to worry about the flames of hell because my Savior suffered my hell on Calvary. Amen. That's right. And so we look and we see our Savior, He is suffering physically our hell that we should have had to have suffered. I will read to you a verse or two in Mark chapter 9 and I'll start in verse 43, and very familiar verse. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to have to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. Now listen what the Bible says. Into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, if Jesus said that one time, that would be sufficient. We would know that in hell, the fire is never quenched and the worm dieth not. If we go to verse 46, though, he says again the same thing. And he says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. In verse 48, he says, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Three times the Lord says the same truths about hell. And we know when he repeats himself, he repeats for emphasis' sake. One time establishes the truth, but repetition places a high emphasis on what he's saying. And what he's trying to get across to those folks there is that hell is a terrible place. Now, let me say this before I go a step farther. I'm not trying to scare you. You can't scare people in this world we live in. You can. They've seen so much on the television and on the screens and internets and different things. You can't scare people, but I'm telling you this so you can have truth. I want you to know the truth of it. Hell is a place of physical torment. I believe, and you can disagree with me, and if you do, I wouldn't argue with you. I'm telling you what I believe. I believe we'll have a skin worm that will devour our body or eat at the bodies of those in hell throughout eternity. You say, well, how could a worm live in hell? How can a human live in hell? God's able to make everlasting whatever He wants. You do know you're going to be everlasting, don't you? You do know that. You do know that when we go to the funeral home and there's a little corpse laying there, a little body, that they're not annihilated. They do not cease to exist. That's just the little tent that they lived on here on planet Earth. They're either in heaven or hell. It's body, soul, and spirit. This body you see is just my dwelling place. You see, one day I'll lay this dwelling place down, go to be in another place, you see. That's the truth of this thing we call death. I don't know. Seem like I'm struggling just a little bit. There may be a soul in the balance this morning. I want you to know this today. There is a place called hell, and if you go, you don't have to go there. It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And if you go there, it'll be because you chose to go there. Amen. God doesn't want you to go there. It's not for you. You'll be an outsider. You'll be an intruder if you go to that awful place called hell. But aren't you glad Jesus there on the cross suffered our hell for us? I don't know how you could pack in. When I preach on Calvary, I always leave feeling defeated. I never get to the heart of it. I don't know how you pack in the hell of humanity into the time that Jesus spent on the cross. I can't touch the depths of that agony, Brother Brian. And there's no one could have handled it but our Savior. That's right. He's the only one that could have handled it. There on Calvary that day, He suffered physically and spiritually and in His soul. He suffered for your sins. My, we see that in this little phrase that I thirst. I thirst. And then I want to say too, we see in this text, and before I get off of that, let me say to you today, whatever you have to do, don't go to hell. Just don't go to hell. It's a horrible place. Don't go. And then I see too in our text, I see the sinfulness of man. I see the sinfulness of man. And I'm going to say some things, and some folks will maybe disagree, but the Word of God will back me up. And I'm not going to go to the text, to the Bible, and show it to you, but I can if I need to. But man is the natural enemy of God. You're the enemy of God. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You're an enemy of God. You know why folks want nothing to do with God? They're the enemy of God. They have a carnal mind. They're born in their sin. You say, I'm a good fellow. The Bible says there is none good. And as if people would struggle with that, it goes on and says, no, not one. There's none good. No, not one. That's what the Bible, you all do believe the Bible says that. There's none that seek after God. There's none righteous. For all, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. You're born a sinner. You're born with a sin nature. And because of that, you commit sin. Do you understand? Do you understand you're a threefold sinner? You're born, you have a sin nature, you commit sin, you're due and worthy of hell. But I'm glad Jesus said you don't have to go. Amen. Oh my. And there He was. He's suffering. In the phrase, I thirst, we see Him suffering. But we see the sinfulness of man. Man is a fallen creature. You're a fallen creature. If you kick your life out of gear and you just coast, so to speak, and you just live your life however you desire, here's what will happen. You'll go down and down and down and down. That's what's wrong with our world today. You say the world's going to get better. No, it can't. Man's a depraved creature. And it gets worse and worse. And worse. Am I not telling it right? Sure it is. You're depraved. Do you know we still have depraved bodies? Did you know even as a believer, if you just kick it out of gear and start doing your own thing and living your life your way, you're going to start going down. 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 That's the way it is. Oh my, look at this text. And I look at this Roman soldier, and the Bible says here, I thirst. And you would have thought what would be good for a thirsty man would have been water. I mean, you would have thought here's the Savior dying for the sins of the world, having done not any wrong, and you would have thought this, you would have thought that a soldier would have, instead of giving him vinegar, would have said, Hey, is there any water somewhere? Hey, has anybody got any water? Hey, bring some water over here. That's what you would have thought. That would have been the humane thing. Isn't that what we do and when folks are in the hospital and bad off and they're saying they're thirsty. We don't give them vinegar, do we? We give them water because that's what satisfies, you see. But then we see this soldier. And I don't know. I've thought about him a lot. I wonder if he wasn't trying to help. I wonder if he wasn't trying to do what he could. Maybe not go out of his way too bad, but still try to help Jesus. I just wonder that. I I don't know what was going on in the mind. I don't know if he's trying to torture Jesus. I don't really think that. No doubt by this point, now we know in one of the Gospels, they were mocking him when they gave him. I think that was early on. The soldiers were mocking and gave him vinegar. But I think by this point, this thing's about over now. He's going to say, in just a minute, he's going to say, it is finished, the sixth saith. And then he's going to say, into thy hands commend I my spirit. And it's going to be over. This battle, this fight's about over. Here's this soldier, and he sees Jesus there, and he sees he's thirsty, and he gets the vinegar. Maybe he's trying to do what he ought to do, but can I tell you how torturous that was to give a thirsty man? How unconcerned. What's the word I'm looking for? How troubled, inhumane, that's what I'm looking for. How inhumane it was to give Jesus vinegar in his thirst instead of trying to find him some water. Think about that. And then here's what came to my mind in a spiritual sense. How many times do we give him vinegar instead of water? Now thirst is a desire, a vehement. One definition said this, a vehement desire for something. And the Lord desires things out of our life. Is that not right? And I wonder how many times, for the sake of ease, for the sake of convenience, for the sake of our pride, it's symbolically speaking or spiritually speaking, we give him not what he wants, but what's readily available and easy for us to give. I just wonder that. I really wonder this, if the biggest part of God's people is not much different than this Roman soldier. Does he want you to give him your whole heart? How many is just give him half your heart? Just give him the spire, the leftover. He wants you to put him first, and the fact of the matter is we put him third or fourth. Isn't that right? I mean, really think about it. Are you any different than a soldier? I mean, he's trying to help. He's trying to do a little something. He's trying to at least get some liquid to his mouth. But the fact of the matter was, he didn't give him what would have really helped him, what would have really pleased him, what would have really satisfied him. I guess that plagues me in my life, because I've struggled and failed so many times. You say, preacher, you ought not say that. You're a preacher. Can I tell you, I could sit down, you could preach to me. I just have struggled through life. Preacher, y'all not. Hey, can I tell you, you struggle too. I might be honest enough to admit it, but you struggle. You know you do. And you know, I'm telling it right, we just give God the leftovers. If we've got a little time left, we might read our Bible. If we got a little time, we might pray. Oh my, he wants to be number one in your life. You're giving him vinegar instead of water to satisfy. That's what I see in this text. Have you been guilty of that? Giving him vinegar when he desires water. And then, here's the sad part, we think we're being good to him. I mean, if we do something, if we give him 10 minutes when we're dead tired and the day's gone and we're running there and read a chapter, we think we've done a noble deed. And I'm not against you reading a chapter. You ought to read a chapter. You ought to pray at the night if it is just 10 minutes. I want to tell you this, I'm not sure we ought to feel good about it. I'm not sure about that. Here's our Lord. And this fellow probably thought nobody else would give me anything, and I will. But to give him vinegar. And he'd already spit it out earlier, wouldn't have it. It appears to me he may have accepted some of the vinegar in this account. It appears that way to me. You can correct me on that later if you want to, but I want to say this. I'm afraid we're not satisfying the desires of our Lord for our lives. I'm afraid of that. I'm afraid, can I just say it? I'm afraid we're playing Christianity. We're playing. Not a bit serious about serving God. He's just a little something in the background that if we have time, we'll give Him a little time. He wants you to love Him supremely. I've seen God's people love deer hunting more than they love the Lord. I'm not against deer hunting. I'm not throwing off on it. We've got deer hunters in our church. They love that more than they love the Lord. I see them love a softball more than they love the Lord. Think about that. My, and I could just go on and fill in the blank with whatever you want. You know what we're doing? We're giving Him vinegar. We're no different than that Roman soldier. He gave him something to tempt to help, but it wasn't the right thing. It wasn't what it should have been. My, can I say this? The Lord, I know I can say it because I'm up here preaching, but the Lord wants fellowship with you. He wants you to talk to Him in prayer. He wants to talk to you through His Word. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord wants to talk to you? Do you believe He wants a fellowship with you? You know what He told the Father in His prayer in John? That they might be where I'm at. He wanted them, Brother Steve, He wanted them where He was at. Oh, my, think about that. The Lord wants you close to Him. He wants to talk to you. He wants you talking to Him. He wants fellowship. And then how do we treat the relationship? How is it we treat? How long has it been since you just went somewhere and got off to yourself and just you and the Lord? Knowing He wants that out of your life. Out of every one of you in this room, He wants fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. And then how do we treat Him? Run in there, run out, and we feel put out if we have to pray. We have to read our Bibles. I just wonder if we're not giving Him vinegar to drink. Trying to satisfy His thirst with that, which won't satisfy. And my, you can just start down the line. He wants total submission. How many of you drew a line in the sand and you said this, I'm going to go this far serving God. I'm not going any farther. I'll go on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm not going on Wednesday night. I'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm not going to revival meeting. I'm not going on visitation. I'm not going on whatever it is. I'll go, but I'm not going to take part. You've drew a line. You've said this. He's saying, I want you. And I want you to serve me. And you've said, I'll serve you up to a point, but no more. No more. Can I tell you, you may be trying to satisfy His desires, but you're really, in a sense, you're giving Him vinegar to drink instead of the water that will truly satisfy. I'm afraid the biggest part of God's people where this soldier was this morning or in our text. I'm afraid that's where he's at. My, I see there attempting to do to satisfy his thirst, but no doubt favoring. No doubt favoring. My. It's really, if I could just say it this way, it's really an insult to the Lord. It's really dishonoring to Him not to give Him what He asked for. He gave His all for us. He gave everything for you and I. The reason you all are going to heaven is because of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gave His life for it. And we don't even have enough respect to try to give Him the best of our life. My, I'm afraid we're not much different than the soldier. So I see in our text the sinfulness of man and the suffering physically and the Scriptures fulfilled. But I see sin's inability to satisfy. Here's all the sins that's placed on Jesus. And I know we're talking in typology or symbolically, however you want to say it. But here's all the sins on Jesus, and He's not saying this. Man, that feels good. Oh man, that just feels good. No, He's not saying that. But here's the state of Him with all the sins placed on Him. He's still thirsty. He's thirsty. Can I just say this to you? Sin won't satisfy your longing down on the inside. You see, He was our substitute. He was standing in our place. He was us, so to speak. And sin did not satisfy His longing or His desire. I see people all the time. I say this so much. That's why they're running up and down the roads and going to the ball fields and the golf courses and the campgrounds. And I'm not against, you guys are camping. I'm not against that. Everybody needs a vacation. You need to take some time and get away. I'm not opposed to that. But there's folks, that's their lifestyle. That's how they live week in and week out and month in and month out. And you know what they're really trying to do? They're trying to find something to satisfy them down on the inside. And can I tell you, there's only one thing that satisfies. That's Jesus. That's just Jesus. If you're in our midst and you're running around trying to find something to make you happy, can I tell you, the only thing that will satisfy you is Jesus. Oh yeah, you'll have a little fun, but when you lay your head on your pillow at night, the things of the world will not satisfy. But can I tell you, I can be all alone, Brother Bud, and put my head on the pillow, and I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm a satisfied customer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Because He satisfied the thirsting of my soul. He told the woman, well, I'll give you water and you'll never thirst again. Oh my. I see that sin doesn't satisfy. This picture is a picture of sin, not satisfying. Some of you all, before you were saved, you tried everything the world had to offer. You tried the alcohol, the drugs, the immorality. You tried it all. And the more you tried it, the more you had to go a step farther and a step farther. And it never really totally satisfied down on the inside. That's right, isn't it? Isn't that why a drug addict becomes an addict? They take a little, and at first it's okay, but then it doesn't satisfy. And they take a little more, and they think that's the answer. And it doesn't satisfy. And a little more. I'm telling you, I want you to understand me tonight. If you've got a thirsting down on the inside, the only thing that will truly satisfy you is Jesus. That's it. And so we see in our text a sin's inability to satisfy. Then I just want to give you one more thing. We see the Savior has some longing desires, some vehement desires, if I use the definition for thirst that I read. He has some desires. He's desiring something. And I want to make you aware of this. He's still desiring some things. He desires to save sinners. He desires to save sinners. If you're here and you're lost, and I know this has kind of been a little unusual message, but if you're here, and you're lost. You may not want to be saved today. And really, till the Holy Spirit deals with your heart, you're not going to want to be saved. There's no use anybody talking to you like that. But if God's dealt with your heart, can I tell you, and you want to be saved, there's a God in heaven wants to save you more than you want to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. There's an old doctrine out of hell that says some's predestinated to go to heaven, some's predestinated to go to hell. Not so. It's not His will that any should perish. He would have all men to be saved come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, here's what I'm saying to you today. Sinner, if you're here, there's a God who's thirsty. If you'll let me use this phrase, He's thirsty to save you. Still wants to save you. My. And I've already dwelled on it for a while, but He's still thirsty. He's still longing for fellowship with His people. Fellowship. Some of you, it's been a long time since you've had an intimate, close, personal, private relationship with the Lord. You'd just be honest and you'd just confess up. You'd just say, I've just gotten so busy with life. I've just not really had time for the Lord. And it's so. I know we're in a busy world. That's the world we live in. I think it's one of the tricks of the devil to get us so busy we don't have time for the Lord. I believe that's what Pharaoh did. Children of Israel, I believe that. Oh my, but can I tell you, you may not have time for Him, but He desires to have a relationship with you, a fellowship. If you're saved, He has a relationship, but He desires that fellowship. He desires you to put Him first in His life. Put Him first. You know what He said in Revelation 3:20? I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on doors. If any man will open, I'll come in and sup with him. Isn't that what the Bible says? You know what that's really saying? If you'll allow me to, I want to fellowship with you. And if you'll allow me to, I will. I will. He has a thirst. He has a desire, a longing, a want to. You say, me? Me? If you, oh my, yes. You. He wants fellowship with you. Is He knocking on your door, on your heart's door? Is He trying to speak to you? Is He trying to get in to you? We could just talk on and on, but I believe I'll just stop right here. Has anybody been giving Him vinegar instead of water? Feel like you're helping Him? The fact of the matter is, you're really not giving Him what He rightfully deserves. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Sister King to come to the piano for just a minute. I don't know. I don't know, but we're living in that world. We're living in that world. We just give Him vinegar instead of water. Oh, how sad. How tragic. How tragic. We feel good about the vinegar. We just feel good about ourselves just giving a half-heartedness to Him. God spoke to your heart. Would you join these that's praying this morning? Are you willing to be honest with God? Are you just willing to be honest with Him and do what He's dealing with you to do this morning? Is your pride getting in the way? You're too proud. My, you're going to leave like you come in because your pride has gotten in the way. Would you be obedient? While Sister King plays, would you obey this morning?